Father, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. Thank you for this opportunity to have every son and every daughter and every body represented here, gathered tonight in one nexus, in one zone tonight, by this, by the virtue of your grace and by the help of this arrangement under your auspices, Lord. We thank you for everyone that is here. Lord, we make demands that tonight that everyone will have an experience of your dimension, of you tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that tonight everyone participant will leave with an impact, an impartation, an experience that will be indelible, undeniable, and unmistakable, and the contact will be felt and will remain, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is no ordinary oppression here, but rather let the supernatural overwhelm and defeat that which is natural. Lord, I pray and I cover everyone's environment with the precious blood of the Lamb and sanctify their presence, that it become a holy environment for the activity of your spirit and of your angels to prosper, to thrive for the accomplishment of your word, and to carry out your will and desire in the lives of the people here. Let no one that is joined in, that will join in, return back the same way they have come. Let it be clear. Let everyone that is here take delivery of their portion, as it is a feast, and you said that all things, let things are ready. Let everyone that has joined in will join in. Live with their allocation of their spiritual provision, their spiritual allocation. Let everyone live tonight, having taken delivery of their allocation. Let them live with what is theirs on this table. Let it be clear. Let nothing natural happen here, but let you, the supernatural, your supernatural prosper here, Lord. To the praise and glory of your name. Thank you. Thank you, mighty God. Jesus, in his precious name of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A new season is defined by a new access. Hence, the season remains the same. Remember, like we said in Isaiah 29:11, that the learned person is restrained from having access to the book. And the lack of this capacity is not because of something he is or a standard he does not meet, but nevertheless a circumstance that is not within his power. And somebody may be here who is also within this kind of experience, that there is access that you cannot reach, access of the vision of the Lord, instruction, the direction of the Lord. It's not intrinsic with you, because it's not a problem with the learned man. The learned man can read. But in the case of the learned man in Isaiah 29:11, the books are sealed. So when a book is sealed, you may be in obedience, have access to the Spirit, everything. But because the book is sealed, you may still be restrained. And if it's not sealed, if it's not unsealed, you can't make any progress. You are here tonight so that the things that are supposed to be unsealed over your life, as you enter 2024 and before you enter 2024, will be unsealed. The things that are supposed to be given and the access and directions that will come for you for 2024 to indeed be a new season to you, you are here to have access to it. That is what it is. It's not that it's not anything wrong with you. You are just moving around. The books of your next phase of your destiny still remain sealed. And if they are not unsealed within this year, or if you are not, if it's, the process is not initiated, 2024 may not carry a different story. You will still move around with the sealed
realities until you come to the place where then it pleases the Lord to break over you a screw. And tonight, in this season, the initiations of the unsealings is set to begin in the life of many. That is why you are here. You are not to enter the next year with sealed things that were supposed to be unsealed. There are certain mysteries for 2023 that are supposed to be unsealed in 2023 so that they can play out in the forthcoming season of your life. So that indeed it becomes a new year for you. Not a new year because the calendar was changed and the digits were changed in the calendar, but because indeed an environment and a reality, a new phase was made open for you. So that you can celebrate a new year both spiritually and naturally. So many persons will celebrate the natural new year, but really in the spiritual, they didn't get a new year because their season still remains. It is this seal being broken that will bring you into a new year. And there are scriptures for it. Father, we give you praise. So somebody says, okay, how will the seals be broken? Every seal has different keys. Every seal, not one seal is not open alike like the other. So the word that will open a seal for you may not be the word that will open a seal for the other. So it's you pay attention to the progression and the administration of God's word that progresses. And when your key drops, you will know. And some of you, it will be unsealed for you, you go and realize. The testimony of the sister that was shared first said that because we told the people and as many of us that obeyed that instruction that go and listen to past audios and hear them. And we got reports and feedback. But she was listening to the audio on the new year, that is the broadcast of this year. Because the year 2023, this year on the 2nd of January, we did a new year broadcast. And it was captioned on Eagle's Wings. It was listening to that audio, in her words, and I know that what she said, I know the part that was basically the body of that teaching. In her words, the paraphrase, we made a statement that God, the sons of Jacob were carried on the wings of eagles. And we further emphasize, we now showed through God's word that the eagle's wings refer to the prophetic ministry. And that the generation that is, and for this period and season, that God is going to bear us on the wings of the eagles, which symbolizes the prophetic ministry. And for as many people who follow the teachings here and the word here, you realize that we disavow that the prophetic ministry is an arrangement of an organization. Rather, we reveal that it's a mystery in Christ. An organization in Christ Jesus, a structure within him. When that word clicked in her spirit, in her word, she says she was flung into a new realm that led her into wisdom and then began to have access to divine direction. And the words of the Lord in her word that led her to what she was doing, and by heeding the wisdom that came through that revelation, her investments was shifted. Now that's what happened when his seal breaks. And then you notice in the testimony that she was already talking about a word that she had. Now the instructions that came, you know that she said the word was already in their spirit before. That word only came to unlock what was the seal of that book, of that revelation that God began to speak to her through Genesis. After she heard that thing, it wasn't that provide wings of the eagles that flung her into... No, the wings of the eagle flung her into a realm, and then the word that had been in her spirit distilled into rational comprehension of the spirit that she could apply and work in. That's a seal. And it's so important that such a testimony is being shared at such a time, because that's what goes on. It flung her into a realm, into an experience that already made clearer what was in her spirit. So it is the same word she had, but this time she was given access to the word that came, that was sealed, or that appeared to be sealed, that was sealed at some levels. Because the book of Christ Jesus was sealed 7 times. So it took 7 unsealings to have full revelations. And that's the story of so many persons' destiny, that the scroll of your life is sealed 14 times in Christ. And many persons get the first scroll unsealed and move to the next, to the first phase. And then after a while, some persons maybe that have a shallow mind may think, okay, this is all God has for me. And then God breaks 2 more seals, and then it moves from the immediate revelation and 2 steps ahead. So we don't know how many seals your destiny is sealed with. From person, it can be 120. So that in your lifetime, there are 120 definite progressive encounters of your call. But I'm just giving you an instance. Do we understand? So do not rush into 2024 with the book still sealed. Whatever, don't rush into 2024 with the book still sealed over your life. You will naturally celebrate a new year and adjust your calendar, or if your calendar will change automatically on your digital devices, and you swipe and pull out the old calendar and install a new one. But the same season in 2023 will still follow you, because though you entered into a new year based by natural progression, seals still remain for you to enter a new season. That's why it's important for you to be here tonight. That you may not enter with any seals. That you may not enter with any seals. Follow the opposite. Elikos Mahatabalash Ketelah. Tonight, I'm bringing you the word of God. The word of God that will prepare you for the forthcoming year. Now, listen. Hear the testimony of we just shared. It was while they're listening to it that the word of God they had received was unsealed. So God's word comes to you and is revealed to you. You don't know which one. That's like I said, every seal is unsealed differently depending on how it was sealed. If it's this mystery that sealed it, it has a lock, a system. So if you are here tonight, you pay attention. So that it's not the season or the word that unlocks your seal, then you don't receive it. Let me tell you. Spiritual things are received. They are not just heard with the ear. They have to be received because they are realities. They are substance indeed. So if you don't receive a word and you are hearing it, you don't have it. How many of you have had the experience? You are in class and then they are teaching something, mathematics, further mathematics, English language, economics, whatever it is, and then you took a second to ask your seatmate or whoever beside you for something. This, you still heard the teacher speaking, but by the time you returned, you missed the concept, and you're like, "Hello, how did he arrive? Why?" You were listening, but you did not apprehend what was said. The same in the spirit, as there are materials and keys are being flung. I can see a key now. My God, there are going to be keys being given tonight. Access keys being given tonight. The brazen doors and the doors that will not respond to your prayer is because a key is yet to be handed over to you. And there are many of you, because these keys, some persons here and many here, because these keys will be given to you, it's not going to be hard to access that door anymore. Because it doesn't matter how gigantic a door may be or a gate may be, for as long as there is the access, it's very easy to open. So you have tried, you have used, you have rammed it, You have used the breaker dimension and it still retains. They are the everlasting doors, the answer to a key. Tonight, those keys that are being given, and I decree that any key of treasure that is lost and buried in the waters, deep in the body of the ocean, in the name that is above every other name, the supernatural power of God that restores from the belly of the sea, I speak right now by the utterance of prophecy according to God's will and authority, that it be restored now to a discoverable plane. Restoration from wherever it is, from resting on that pebble in the bottom of the sea. I decree it restored. Everlasting doors, the ancient doors, that their keys have been misplaced. They have been misplaced. Really, they are lost treasures in the spirit realm. That's why God said, I will give you access to the treasures of darkness and the secret riches of hidden places, the riches of hidden places, secret treasures that are hidden. They are treasures in darkness. Darkness does not connote evil. Darkness connotes obscurity. That is, these treasures are lost. Figuratively. And when you say something's lost, is that the location is not known. Things that are lost don't mean that they cease to exist. Their location is unknown. And lost is relative. What is lost to you may not be lost to me because I have information. If you dropped your key on your desk and it fell down, and I saw it fell down and it somehow slipped through the rails and entered another quarter of the office, it's lost to you, but to me it's not lost because I saw it. So being lost does not connote non-existence. It means that ignorance prevails in the place of light. Today, there is the restoration of the things, dimensions, and access to treasures that is as if they don't exist anymore. The keys and access is given to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Receive your access tonight. You will pray to the new year spiritually. It will be a new season for you indeed. You will celebrate a natural transition, but you will celebrate a spiritual transition. A quantum shift, a paradigm movement into a new order and a dimension in God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. So we bring to us God's word. Pay attention, as scrolls will unseal before you. The first thing, now listen. That started. The first thing that God brought to us is this word. It is not for the redeemed to lose hope. The redeemed of Jesus Christ, they are not without hope in the world. It is not for the redeemed to lose hope. The redeemed of the Lord, they are not without hope in this world. Father, will give you praise. Listen, your destiny is dictated by the word of God's mouth. The scripture says that you were being born not with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible by the word of God. Now listen. What that means is the word of God is the seed of your birth. It's what was planted to produce you. And for as long as the law of the spirit is concerned, the seed of the word has to be sown for salvation to come. That is why the apostle Paul preached and said, "How will there be saved if a preacher is not sent?" Jesus said that the law and the prophet prophesied up till from the time from before up until now. But now the preaching of the kingdom has begun and every man pressed into it. Until the gospel is preached, there can't be salvation. It's a law of scripture. Which is why when the angel appeared to Cornelius, you could see that there was no means by which Cornelius could become automatically saved. So he said, send for Peter so that seed can be sown in you. As it is naturally that unless there is a conception or unless there's a conception, we can't say we have a baby in development, that a child begins to develop. And even the immaculate conception of the Lord didn't defy this order, because Mary herself asked, how shall this be? He said, the power of the highest will come upon you. That is, the word of God will be sown inside of you. If that is the case, that you were born of God's word, look at the natural thing. The same it is in the natural. Now listen. Scientifically, when there is conception, the conception process comes with its installation. The blood of the mother doesn't mix with the blood of the child. Everything that will account for the production of that child is inside the installation of the conception. So he doesn't borrow the mother's heart. He will develop his own heart. He comes with the code. He comes with the instruction that produces and guides the process that evolves the heart. He won't go to the mom and say, you have two kidneys, can I have one? He comes with the instruction in his genetic code that produces the sequencing that generates all of that. Let me tell you, the conception himself is a prophecy. And the prophecy does not go for interpretation outside. He interprets itself because he is written. What it means is that the seed suffices for itself unto completion. That's why when it's 9 months and that just birthing, you see two eyes, two ears, everything is perfect. And the mom's organs are still in place. Didn't borrow the kidney or the liver. But at some point, when it was just a seed, a unicellular organism, you couldn't locate where the heart was. Where was the heart? It was written in prophecy in the genetic code. Did you get that? Where is the heart? Where is the kidney? Where are the bones? You look at this mystery under the microscope, all you see is a blob of cells just together. You say, where is the lungs? God will say, check the DNA. The prophecy is there. You say, where is the heart? He said, look at the DNA. What that means is this: because you were born of God and by the word of God, your DNA is written in scriptures. Science looks at the microscope to understand the DNA sequence of the living organism, and from that they can predict. Now listen, because of advances now, they can predict children that we have certain deformities. This will happen if there's going to be a problem with the child. As a matter of fact, there's a Nigerian doctor of the Western origin that broke grounds for being the first man to operate a baby that was still in the womb. That is, they brought the mom, took her to the theater, operated on her and brought out the baby from the womb, corrected an error in his developmental process. I think it's a baby boy or girl, I can't place now. And when they were done, they placed the baby back into the womb and closed up the mother, and the baby developed. Probably should be about 13, 14 minutes. Should be in the teens. How did they get to know that? Because they were studying. They looked at it. It's possible through what is called DNA sequences and studying to understand how a living organism will grow. Why? Because they look at the genetic code. They look at the DNA code. For the believer who is born of God, He can't go to the microscope or to the laboratory to check what the prophecy is written. Like, say,
Like I'm telling you now, the DNA code is a prophecy. It's not written in English. It's written in the language of mysteries that natural process can explain through advanced understanding as God gives. But for the believer, his DNA is written in scriptures. That was what was necessary for Jesus to come. He said the word was made flesh. It should indicate to you that there's a link between living and the living word of God. And so Jesus didn't have to go to check the scriptures to see if he has fulfilled prophecy. As he was living, he was fulfilling the prophecies. Because it's hard to tell if the prophecies were written before him or he was before the prophecies because of the word. And according to order, it's now easier to tell because he was before the written word. Because the prophets wrote it in time. He existed before it. So as he lived, he fulfilled the prophecy. Why? Because he was expressing his DNA. The believer goes back to scriptures to find his DNA. And as the scientist will take up a cell and look at it under the microscope and check out the operations in the DNA, look at the nucleus and check what's going on, and then they can write out facts and things that will occur with this organism, the believer goes back to where his DNA is written in the word, because he was made out of the word. There his instructions are contained. So the word of God is the prophecy of the believer's life. Naturally, the DNA is the prophecy of the organism. Listen, in the days of Aristotle, who is famous for studying a lot of him, he theorized, because in his day science was still in its crude stage. He said there must be something inside the living organism that tells the seed of a chicken to develop to be a chicken, and that tells the seed of a goat to develop to become a goat, and they don't cross. He said there is purpose written in living organisms. And when the DNA was discovered, a renowned scientist was like, they should give Aristotle a posthumous Nobel Prize for discovering the DNA. Because even though he couldn't understand, he couldn't know it in details, he anticipated that there is such a design. In the same way, there is such a design in the word of God that the believer is supposed to evolve according to the word. Because the child of God is born of God's word. That's what the apostle Peter teaches. He said they are not born of corruptible seed.
My God. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 1:23.
He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth. It's telling you that the word of God is it lives, it has life. If it has life, right, it has the mysteries of life. However, albeit in a spiritual dimension, and of course of maybe of a higher operation, but nevertheless within the same principles that we can see etched in the natural world. Which is why Paul said that the things that are of his are already seen in the earth. Romans 1:26-29. He said they are already seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, such that they are inexcusable. According to Paul's teaching, he said there is no reason why they can deny the existence of God, because his eternal power and God has already been demonstrated in the things that can be seen. The principles he has set in place. Peter said you were born of the living word. Not the English language. There's a living dimension of the word of God that lives. Until you know that word, you have not begun to touch the word of God. That word is the prophecy of your life. It is your DNA code. That is how you should evolve. The believer is not without hope in the earth. This is God. It's not without hope in the earth. That what accounts for the believer's progression remains the doctrine, what the scripture teaches. The scripture remains the script of your evolving, of your development, of your progression. Why? Because it is the foundational block of your creation. They call the DNA the building blocks of life. The scripture remains the building blocks of your life. Why is God saying this? He said, the scripture is the foundation, the building blocks of the believer's life. But hear what he says continually. But the scripture teaches that the believer should have hope. Nowhere in scripture does it teach that things will get bad for the believer. Nowhere does it teach that things, as time goes on, that it will get worse for the believer. No. The position of the scripture instructs us that we should look forward for a better tomorrow. And so that mentality that keeps you in uncertainty whether tomorrow will be good or evil is the devil, not of God. Your DNA, as written in scripture, prophesies that tomorrow is always pregnant with better, with good. So the redeemed of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, they are destined to be hopeful people, because the position of scripture instructs them that what is before them is always better than what is behind them. So the believer should have hope. The scripture remains the authority of the believer's life. The believer's life is submitted to the ruling of scriptures, not the ruling of any other entity. First, to the ruling of scriptures. But the scripture teaches that it is going to be better tomorrow than it is today. That's why already in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, God's word begins to speak that the path of the justified is like the shining light. A shining light that shines more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. That is one promise of scripture. There are many of them that you should look forward to tomorrow, that it will be better for you. That fear that tomorrow may be worse is not what scripture is teaching you. And when an organism begins to develop contrary to how it is, its DNA was originally written, it is deformed. It is a mutation. Tonight, every mutated spiritual gene in your thinking will be flushed out tonight by the
name
of God's word, by this antidote of the word of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The apostle Paul teaches, he said, for we reckon that the sufferings of this present time, don't know what your suffering of your present time is. It may be unemployment, it may be financial scarcity, it may be the oppression of the devil in whatever sphere. He said, but I know that the suffering of the present time is not worthy. That is, when this one comes, it's not fitting for the both of them. He says it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That shall be revealed. That is, tomorrow is always better than today. That is what scripture teaches. But if anything can suggest to you that tomorrow will be worse than today,
is not the doctrine of scripture for the child of God. Paul said again, Galatians chapter 6, from verse 8-9.
He said, "For do not be weary in doing good, for we shall reap in due season." So there is reaping ahead of the one who has been doing good. If we faint not, now what will happen if that one faints? Well, the reverse is only the case that there will be no reaping. The enemy is trying to trick you so that you will not reap, because when you stop doing good, he said, don't be weary of doing good, because if we do not faint, we will reap. If we faint, we will not reap.
The promise of God, the scriptures, is that tomorrow will be better for the believer. That is what scripture teaches. So the scripture gives us a hope that for as long as the child of God is concerned, that tomorrow will be better than today. There's a song that says, "My tomorrow shall be greater than today."
Your tomorrow
shall be greater than today. The path of the justified is like the shining light. He said, "This man will still bring forth fruit in old age." That is a righteous man, according to the book of Psalms. For as long as every necessary thing is in place, the destiny of God's redeemed is tomorrow will be better than today. That is why the hope is eternal. Are we following? Everything that suggests to you that your tomorrow will be worse is not of God. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope for you. There is hope. But you see, the revelation of God's word continues that contrarywise, the scripture does not promise good for the world as it progresses. There is no provision in scripture that teaches that it will be good for the world as time goes. As the path of the just shines more and more, the path of the world continues to darken more and more. That is why you see that the body of the prophetic revelation coming suggests that a dearth, D-E-A-R-T-H, not death as in to die, but a dearth, famine, scarcity, economic crisis comes in the world. Scripture prophesies that as it goes forward to the end days, it will be bad for the world. That's the doctrine of scriptures. Paul was amongst the most notable apostles of Jesus Christ and amongst the vessels of ministries of God in scriptures that pointed this truth to us. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous is hard, difficult in the world. They say, "For men shall be lovers of themselves." So there is a projection for the world, within the world, for the world, that there is going difficult times will come as it progresses. That is the provisioning of scriptures. The word, he said, and the scriptures cannot be broken. If it's scripture that decreed it, it can't be broken. The provision of scripture says that it will get worse for the world. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, perilous times will come. Hard and difficult times.
Jesus said to his disciples, the book of John chapter 16, he said, the world hates you. I say, and in the world ye shall have tribulations. The world, you shall have tribulation. That means inside the world, there is a promise of tribulation. Not within the kingdom. We are coming to that.
You shall have tribulation.
The promise of scripture for the world as time progresses is not good. Promises chaos and all evil. The Bible says that blessed that Revelation chapter 12, he said, rejoice ye heaven and ye that dwell in them, for the accuser of your brethren, we don't accuse them before the throne of God day and night, are be cast down. He said, woe unto the earth and of the dwellers or inhabitants of the sea, for the devil, for Satan is come unto you with great wrath, for he knows that his time is short. But somebody say, I am an inhabitant on the earth. No. You can be in heaven on it. Jesus said, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now listen. The provision of scripture decrees that as it goes for the world, it wouldn't be fair. Now look at what he says. He says that in the world, ye shall have tribulations. That's the word of Jesus. You can begin to read that from John chapter 16, verse 33. At the end of his speech, when he was leaving, the counsels that he gave his disciples. He said, the world will hate you because he hates me. And you know from hatred, all manner of evil progresses. As a matter of fact, the works of the flesh is hatred. Hatred leads to bitterness. Bitterness gives birth to witchcraft. Witchcraft is the mother of all evil. It gives birth to all evil. But they see the hatred and bitterness. They go hand in hand. When you hate somebody, you become bitter about everything. The provision of scriptures for the world is this. That tribulations, perilous times. But listen, this are two pictures that the justified has hope, but those who are in the world, they are sentenced to a life of despair. Their tomorrow is uncertain because it is at the hands of the chaos. What will tomorrow bring is determined by the chaos of today, and so there's a little up and down, calm, then war, then a little calm, and then a calm, and then a war. And then death, and then snatching, and then destruction, and all manner of evil work. It is so. Why are these? That is a promise of scriptures for the world. Now, time will fail us to go through all the scriptures that speak this, but anyone who understands the treatment of scriptures with regards to these prophecies will know that these words are true. But then, will there be believers in Christ Jesus that we see perilous times? Yes. That we see tribulations? Yes. Because even in natural settings, there is the original design of how a seed should evolve, but there are seeds that deviate from it, leading to mutation and deformation. So some persons will be born without an arm. There is a biological operation and process that goes on that leads to how the limbs develop so that hands can be. Somewhere along the line, there was a mutation of that process. The cells responsible didn't deliver, they deviated from the natural course. So when the organism developed, the arms failed to develop together with it. There are instances of people that are born and there's no eyeball. Not that the eyeballs are not functioning. It didn't develop with an eyeball. So blindness is fixed. Nothing can be done about it. At least not within any possible man's field of knowledge, because a whole new rewiring has to occur down to the entire nervous system into the brain. Now that's a very complex operation. It requires reverse engineering the whole human nervous system. So there will be believers. Even you too can see hard times. Even you too will suffer tribulation with the world too. Suffer hard times with the world. How is this thing? It begins with, and how is this thing? Does scripture teach this? Yes. He said, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is that structure that is used to fasten two ox or oxen together. And then they can be simultaneously controlled with one stroke. It's a counterpart of the what is put on a chariot, where you have two horses and then a single strap on their necks. And then when you pull it, it affects the two, because the two horses have been strapped together. That's a picture of the unequal yoking. When a system is put on the boat, you know, animal on their neck, and then you can determine where the both of them go simply by directing the yoke itself. When a believer becomes unequally yoked with the world, he begins to suffer the prophecy. He becomes aligned with the prophecy of the world. And so the destiny of the world, he begins to follow it because he has been yoked with it. And because the prophecy and prophecy of scripture makes provision for the destiny of the world, he has become one with the world. His story will be like theirs.
This is revealed extensively through scriptures. The Jews had a revelation in the scriptures.
But at some point, because of the circumstance that was before them, somehow they became blind to that revelation. So much so, when a man came and began to walk in it and began to declare that revelation, they almost wanted to kill him. And that's when Jesus said to them that he is the Son of God. And then they said to him in the book of John chapter 10 that, and the one, so Jesus said, do you stone me because of what? He said, no, for a good work we do not stone you. But he said, because ye, you being a man, refer to yourself as a son of God, therefore making yourself equal with God. And Jesus said to them, is it not written in your law that ye are gods? And all of you children of the Most High. So, what the man was saying, that he was a son of God, it was there in their revelation. He said, you are all children of the Most High, of the Elyon. He said, so if he called them gods to whom the word came, the scripture can be broken. So, these were a group of people that had been destined to be children of the Most High, to be gods in the earth. But they aligned with the earth and forsook the path of that prophecy. So they couldn't walk in the possibility that existed in the realm.
Look at what the prophecy says in the book of Psalm chapter 49, verse 12 and verse 20.
He said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men. How can the children of, how can gods die like men?
That whole verse is narrated.
Because there is a deviation from the real code. They are gods, children of the Most High, but say they will die like men. That is, they have one destiny, but they will end like another destiny. They have one promised reality, but they will end like another promised reality. They have an origin, but the end, their destination will not look like the origin, because somewhere between the origin and the destination, there was a deviation. You are all children of the Most High, but here you go,
you will die like men.
There is no connection between gods and men. They are of two different realms. The astrologer said to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, what you are asking, no man can give you. It's only in the gods whose dwelling are not with men. That is, they are of different material. They are made of different stuff.
As if that were not enough. The scripture went for that to say,
he said, a man who is in honor and does not know will perish.
He said, a man that is in honor and does not know is like the beast.
That is, the man is in honor, but he doesn't realize that honor has been put on him. He will perish like the beast. You see, a man in honor and does not know is like the beast that perishes. So being in honor is not enough. Understanding the honor that you are in honor is relevant. So which is why, despite the fact that the scripture makes provision for the believer to progress, and that tomorrow will always be better than today, the scripture makes a provision of scripture for the believer's life as he progresses, is that of hope that tomorrow is destined to be better than today. Your next 10 years is going to be better than your past 10 years. That it is forward ever. It is like a light that shineth more and more and more. Some will still be entering the realm that goes dim and dim and dim. Why? Because it's not enough to be honored. A man that is in honor, that he does not understand the implication of this, will still perish like a beast. And so somebody will come and preach your prophecy to you, and you will want to stone him. Because Jesus said to them, because they say, you make yourself a god. You make yourself as a god. And Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I'm living your prophecy. So it's two ways now. So there is the prophecy of the believer. That is why we say that the redeemed of Christ have a hope. The provisioning of scripture testifies that it is better forward for the believer. But the projection of scriptures for the times and the prophetic realities that abound project that in the world there will be tribulations, that there will be perilous times, that difficulties will abound. And so it shows that there will also be believers who will also hit rock bottom with the world, because scripture shows it.
The Bible, Paul preaches in the book of Corinthians, he said that these people are alienated, speaking of the world, from the life of God by virtue of the ignorance that is in them. I mean, the people are separated from God by true ignorance. Something as glorious as Zoe, the life of God, eternal life, ignorance alienated them. That is, ignorance put a separation between the both of them. So if ignorance can alienate the people from salvation, the life of God, there's nothing ignorance cannot separate you from. Even the hope of a better tomorrow, your ignorance can put you away from it.
You say, have I not said, ye are gods? All of you children of the Most High. But he said, but you will die like men. There are believers that will die like men. Why? Because a man who is in honor and does not understand, it's like the beast that perishes. There are believers, there are people that will perish in the year coming. They are children of God. Why? They deviated from the prophecy of life, from the genetic codes of their destiny that scripture contains. So to you today is presented to you a great and a glorious year, or an uncertain and a disastrous future. For the believer, it is destined for greatness. Scripture makes provision. For the world, it is destined for uncertainty and wars. But the one, the believer who decides to yoke himself with the world and go into the world, Scripture says, you in the world, you will have tribulation. He says, but Christ says that in me, you will have peace. Jesus said it himself. He said, in me, peace, shalom, Irene. So before you is the gate and the glorious gates now. Which one will you go through? You can go through to it, but what will you do as you proceed? Because there are three realities that will play out. The believer that is faithful, that experiences Proverbs 14:18. The world that begins to nosedive according to the prediction of scriptures and the prophecy that has been written. And then the believer whose destiny is to shine progressively, but that becomes yoke and takes upon himself the principles of the world and fellowship with the world, the communion of darkness and the sons of Belial, and then the world, he begins to look like the world, and their faith come upon him. This is that great and glorious promise. And all of these are realities that the scripture puts forward. Which will you choose tonight? So somebody says, how then? That's the year 2024 for you. It's a year of great promise. And it's a year of the opposite. It's a double side here. Many were the great progress and great regression. Great depression. It will just be happening two sided. The same heat that we had in the clay will melt the wax. The heat from the fire that will make the clay stronger, we dissolve the wax, it will destroy the shape. The heat that we give the clay its form and structure, we deform the structure of the wax. It's all a matter of what they are. What will you be in the year? The same grace that is lifting will be the same grace. The operation of that grace will not be the same on the other quarters, because there was light in Goshen and then there was deep darkness. Darkness that they couldn't leave their houses in Egypt. It will happen both ways. And just being a child of God is not enough, because there will be many that will suffer the fate of the world. The Bible says these folks were alienated from the life of God. Maybe I should read that for us in the epistle of the Apostle Paul. Let's see that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18. He said, having your understanding darkened, being alienated, that is separated, shut out from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. So if ignorance can shut a man from seeing the life of God, from experiencing the life of God, and ignorance leads to inactiveness, because until you know what to do, you can't do nothing. So when you are ignorant of a fact, of a truth, you will not do the right thing. So the same ignorance will account to many having tribulation with the world, student of the world. The Bible says that there was famine in the land, and Isaac wanted to go to Egypt together with the world. At least there was some bread there. And God said, no, sojourn in this land. And he sowed in the same land where there was famine, he was reaping where people were suffering. Two different realities. What is the case for Isaac? He was part of the covenant, the seed of God. There's no guarantee if somebody else sowed beside him, they will prosper the way he did. Why?
the prophecy was working for his life. It wasn't a normal operation. He reaped in that land. Why? He was not ignorant of the provision of God that says, sojourn in this land, that will bless you. What will be your state, sir? What is your state currently? Are you hoping for a better tomorrow, or you are hoping for a bad tomorrow? Do you think in your heart or feel in your spirit that tomorrow will be better than today, or it will be worse than today? Some of us take on problems that are not our concern. We are bothered about the world. The scriptures has already finished the destiny of the world. As Bible said, he has numbered and finished. It is completed. You say this is, you are bothered about the world. It doesn't concern you. Why will you be caring if there's bothered that there's traffic on earth in the highway when you are flying in a private jet? Oh, there's traffic, but you are not caught up in the highway. You are on air. You are flying. There can't be traffic there, because the height, the heavens are limitless. Some of us become so bothered about what's going on in the world, so much so it penetrates into us and we become concerned. Then we start to feel it. If the scripture has numbered it and finished it, the state of the world is not your concern. What I mean is not that you should be indifferent or unaware of what's going on, but you can't carry it on your head and want to change the world when the scripture has predicted their fate. The scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures, they cannot be broken. Therefore, by God, what will you choose? It will be better for you, or it will be worse for you. Where will you go? Don't bother about the world. That's what the Lord is saying. You worry too much about what's going on in the world until you forget that it doesn't pertain to you. What's going on in the world doesn't concern you. That the traffic on the highway doesn't concern you because you are flying. The individual is going to Southern America, or is traveling on the highway. He's caught up in traffic. You are going to the end, to the same place, but you are going by air. There's traffic. When you get to that place, you are driving. But they are saying that they are reporting traffic on the news, that the highway is congested, the traffic is projected to be there for 8 hours. But you are going by air. It doesn't concern you. All you have to do is look at it and be grateful for God who has exempted you. Be grateful to God who has prevented you from experiencing the hardship. In the world, you will have tribulation. It doesn't matter who you are. You see, for as long as you are in the world, you will have tribulation. But why would you say, I'm in the kingdom, as it is in heaven, so it is on earth in my life? Father, we give you praise. The mystery of exemption still works. The mystery of prevention still works. In the world, you will have tribulation. You can choose your destiny and your faith. To hope and to think that tomorrow will be worse than today is not of God. The scripture does not teach. Well, 2024 is coming. The way things are going now, the government is this. All right, the world is projecting. That's not you. It's going to be tough. They are saying it's going to be tough next year. What? The way things are going now. Look at, by the time this, it's your school fees next year. People are increasing. If they are not talking to you, don't listen to it. The day you begin to listen to it, you begin to have faith in the wrong thing. Faith will come by hearing and hearing the words. When you hear the wrong words, you begin to believe the wrong words. It shouldn't enter you. They are not referring to you. Please become consciously absorbed with the fact that it's not you they are talking to. Let it be dogged.
Listen, when you are dogged like that, they will attempt to stone you. Jesus said to them that he was a God. They came and said, how dare you? And they wanted to stone him. He showed them it is written in the prophet. Your own book, the book you live by, is what I'm living and demonstrating. You are gods according to that book. So when you declare, some people will be offended. But the saying of annoyance cannot boil water. It can't. That is the provision, decree and declare it. You should not be ashamed of what God will say to you for your profiting. Don't care. Well, you don't care who is there. It's projected that this God has is not talking to me. Two sides, two coins, two parts. You choose what you want to be. Those are the gates of 2024. You have to consciously decide now to live in the revelation and according to the testaments of scriptures. Father, I give praise. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Go ahead, give him praise. Thank you. In conclusion tonight, as we see from God's word, we realize that two people of the same origin will have different destinies. When Rebecca was pregnant with the children of Isaac, there was turbulence in her womb, and she went to seek God. And God said, why is this so? And God said to her that two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people, and the one shall be separated from the other. That is two kinds of two character, two people of the same source and origin, the same seed. They came from the same seed. It was the same conception that produced the two of them. They were born of the same seed. Not like they gave birth to one and they gave birth to another. No, they were born. It's like they were born again together. It's like somebody of you and somebody accepted Christ the same day, the same day. They were born together. But God said that two manner of people are, and they shall be separated. See, and one people shall be stronger than the other people. So it points towards that there are two kinds of believers. The believers that will suffer the fate of the world. Why? Two ignorance. And ignorance is not just the absence of knowledge, but it begins with the absence of understanding. And not the understanding only comes when knowledge has been fulfilled. You see, a man who is in honor and does not know, does not understand, it's like the beast that will perish. So two kinds of believers will emerge. Their patterns will be seen. That one will be yoked with the word and the prophecy of the word, what they will fulfill. And the other who stays with their God, they will elevate and will ride on the eagle's wings. So what will demarcate these two believers? This will set the stage for what we'll continue to see by the following day, by the next of the meeting. What demarcates them is their acquaintance with their God. Their acquaintance with their God. And I round up with this scripture from the book of Job. What will demarcate these believers? Their acquaintance with their God. Isaac heard the voice of God, and then he was demarcated from his world. Their acquaintance with their God. Job chapter 22, verse 21, as we round up to begin. He said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. He said, thereby good shall come unto thee. He said, receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth. The emphasis says that when there's an acquaintance with God, there's the promise of good coming. What we demarcate these people is their acquaintance with their God.
go ahead and give God praise. The seals are loosed over people's life, over someone's life. The seals are loosed over someone's life. Go ahead, pray. Go ahead, give God praise. Wherever you are, just thank Him. Bless His name and give Him praise. Mashka parada boskoto robala baradas. Ziketo rata baraba sundra lebekeski pratanaba. Mosquito prataski brahandes ke poduska. The seals are loosed over somebody's life. The seals are loosed over somebody. This moment,
Amen.
I'm teaching, just give somebody a key. Go ahead, give God praise. Bless His name.
Father, thank you. Baraka bakatash. Je pekete bronkos of rakatais. Lekoborobodobodobodosh. Thank you, Jesus. Belefrando Kikos. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
I congratulate someone here, and I congratulate everyone that is here. This year will not just be the coming year will not just be the same order of the year it comes. You prepare consciously to enter the year. And for those of you who have the habit of entering the year, like the way you sleep and open your eyes, that's not how to enter a new year. You prepare for a new year. You write down the vision for a new year. You enter the new year awake and aware. This year will be different for you because you are doing something different concerning it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when I say this year, I'm talking about the season that is upon us. This year, talking about not this year, will be different for you because you are doing something different about it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, prepare and plan. It's not too late, short. You have every time to consciously change your narrative in the year that is coming. To consciously change your narrative. You don't enter a new year casually. You have been resting and doing all manner. If you deny yourself certain things for a period of days, nothing will happen to you. You won't die. Contrary to popular opinion, nothing will happen to you. If you separate yourself from all the noise and not talk and not be with people, you will not die. Those people, you will still see them in 2024. Nothing will happen to you. If you stay awake and go for it in service and enter it in the presence of the Lord, you will still have many more sleep to sleep. Nothing will happen to you. So enter the new year consciously. The sensitivity is coming, great glory to God, celebrate it, but let the year be in your heart. Let the year be in your heart. Let the year be in your heart. Come before God, let it be in your heart. Celebrate, be grateful to God, but let the year remain in your heart. Let it be in your heart. Let it be in your heart. And continue. That's, you will have visions and direction in all awkward places. You may even be talking with your friends and your loved ones, celebrating, and then God is speaking to you in that moment. Why? Because what is in your heart will determine what God will speak into your heart. Speak to you. For as long as you in this season, God will speak to you as long as it is in your heart. We'll be moving about trying to run errands and say, but let it be in your heart. The year in your heart. Lord, you make it clear to you. Congratulations. The seals are different for every and every one of us because what it holds for us in details differs for every one of us. As our faces are different, so are our destinies. But the principles of what it holds remains the same because those principles are decreed by scriptures. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The path of the just shines more and more like the light that shines more and more. The sufferings of the present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be given unto us. For the province of the present times, they worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There comes a weight of glory for my life. For the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestations of God. There's something coming glorious. There's something that is more glorious. for the glory of the latter house is better than the former. It's greater than the former. The scripture says in the book of John chapter 2, for ye have saved the best wine up till now, until now, until now, until now. What is ahead is always better than what is behind. The Bible says that the land before them is as the Garden of Eden, but behind them is a desolate wilderness. Whenever you pass, in comparison to what is before you, is a desolate wilderness. I don't know the realm of glory you have operated before, but what is before you will make what is behind you look like a desolate wilderness. The land before you is Eden, behind is a desolate wilderness. That's why scripture says, he that draws back my soul will have no pleasure. What is before you is better, is always greater than what is behind you. That is what the scripture teaches. It doesn't teach that you will be suffering more and more till the end. It will get whatever you have suffered in time past. Scripture teaches that as tomorrow comes, there's hope. As tomorrow comes, there's hope. That's why Peter is pointing to and say our salvation is even nearer than ever. He knows that with every day that dawns, the appearance of their Lord gets closer. 2 Peter 1 verse 19 says that we have this small, sure word of prophecy, which you do well to take heed unto as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises. He said there is a light that as you give heed to it, it continues to shine until a day that it will dawn. And then there is going to be a rising inside of you. Your tomorrow is greater than your today. No matter the level you are, tomorrow is always better and greater. That's what the scripture teaches you. Tomorrow, as we round up with more instruction, you will be shown how to prepare and enter the new year, the things to look out for, and then how to maintain this lane of the people that the tomorrow is always better for. You know, when you are driving on the highway, there's the lane that goes and the lane that comes. When you enter the wrong lane, you will suffer catastrophe. It's either you are moving in the direction of that lane or you will suffer damage. That's why you see believers who hold the word and want to hold the church, they suffer the most. The scripture says that the sorrows of them that go after other gods will be multiplied. Let me pull out that scripture for us. The sorrows of them who run after other gods will be multiplied. When you try to hold God and the word, you have more sorrow than they all. Look at it there in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. The other translation says that, see, those who hurry after another God will have many sorrows. So when you are in a lane and you are not moving in the direction of the lane, you suffer, you'll be catastrophe, accident. You are going in this lane, the lane that goes, and then you swerve to the lane that comes, and you want to keep going the lane that is going back. Cars will just hit you. There's going to be an accident. So when you go that lane, just turn back and follow them. So that your damage will be minimal. The damage will be the damage of returning back to the desolate wilderness. Because whatever is behind the enemy is best. The army of God is a desolate wilderness. Their glory is always ahead of them. Their sorrows will be multiplied by hasting after other gods. Another gods may not mean a deity or a spirituality. Whatever becomes your source of hope and ultimate trust becomes a god to you. Because you have devoted your loyalty and allegiance, you have given it to it through it, through faith. We become born of God through faith. You become born of whatever else by putting your faith in them. Speaking figuratively in that sense. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that is in after other gods. We are saying all of this to say, tomorrow we'll talk about how to stay in this lane
that their future is always better, that the land before them is always greater and more glorious than the land that is behind them. Again, I say to you, your tomorrow is greater than today. Have hope. Your best days forever will always be ahead of you, not behind you. That is what scripture says. That's why scripture says, as your days, as his days, so shall his strength be. You are getting stronger as the day goes. Jesus is Lord. God bless you all. And I know it's an encounter already. Let's go. Let's give God praise for what he has done. Thank him. Bless his holy name. Worship him. Be magnified and be glorified. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name, we are praying.